All right, my name is Stephen Glaudini. I'm Associate Artistic Director, Producer here at Musical Theater West in Long Beach.
Great. Now, can you tell me a little background on the organization, its history, and where it's been and where it...
Absolutely. We're now entering our 56th consecutive producing season, which is almost unheard of in a large musical theater company. We started in Whittier, California, and started as the Whittier Light Opera, and then that moved into La Mirada, where it became the Whittier La Mirada Light Opera, which became the La Mirada Civic Light Opera, which became Musical Theater West. And we were at the La Mirada Civic Center until 1999, and we were always looking for another home, and our current board president, Linda Knoll, and some others spearheaded this move to Long Beach to replace the void that was filled by the Long Beach Civic Light Opera when they closed down. I believe that was in 96, 97. So we offered patrons from the CLO to drive to La Mirada, and in doing so, we eventually moved
the
organization to Long Beach. And it's our 10th year here, coming into this season is celebrating our 10th year here in Long Beach.
That's great. So why don't you, for those who don't know, explain the artistic component, what it is you actually do, the kinds of shows you produce.
We are 100% a musical theater organization, as our name says, Musical Theater West. We produce big, classic, and newer Broadway musicals, some just, you know, All Shook Up, which we produced this last February. It just closed on Broadway 2.5 years ago. So we try to get newer titles when they're made available, and then we'll still do a pajama game like we did last season, an old chestnut, and try to breathe some new life into it, but introduce these classics to new generations of theater goers. And so pretty much, you know, we've grown out of the operetta world. You know, when people used to do the Student Prince and Desert Songs and Rosemary's, we're finding that there's really no audience, or if there was an audience, they've passed on. And we don't do straight plays. It's primarily musical theater.
How do you see your demographic? I mean, who is it? What is your fan base or your subscriber base?
You know, the 60 to 70, 80, you know, it's the people who grew up in the 60s and the 70s when going to theater was the thing to do. The golden age of Broadway is what they called those, you know, the 50s, 60s. You know, we are trying to get a younger demographic. We our last production of The Wizard of Oz brought in thousands of people who had never been to our shows, families and small children, and you know, so you always, when you're choosing a season, you try to have an eclectic taste, so you get the shows that bring the families in, but yet we did an Ultra Boys, you know, which was the regional premiere of this hot new edgy off-Broadway musical that some of our older patrons, it wasn't their cup of tea, but again, it brought in a whole younger demographic, which we're trying to groom into being our next.
No, the Altar Boys, that was based on a book, right?
No, Altar Boys, it's a comical telling of a Christian boy band.
Oh, okay.
It's with five actors, and they're on a Raise the Praise tour. And it's very tongue-in-cheek, a lot of fun. And, you know, I find, it's interesting. I find, you know, all the shows you can do, you know, they can deal with language, they can deal with, some people don't have a nice time to deal with religion.
Right. Sure.
That's something that's very personal to people.
Sure.
But I think it wasn't meant to offend in any stretch of the imagination. And there were people who absolutely loved it. But, you know, as a nonprofit, you have to be able to take the hits with the compliments. And, you know, I mean, being the hits, the complaints. And, you know, thank goodness we don't get that many of them. But when you do, we have to listen to them and we have to take them to heart, and you know.
Does the board play a role in...
Huge role.
...in determining what actually gets programmed?
They have a say. They do really rely on Paul Garman, our executive director, producer, and myself, and then our staff as well, to, you know, they're business people, and they appreciate the fact that we're artistic people, and, you know, if something was a glaring problem, I'm sure they'd bring it up, but they pretty much trust the people that they have on staff to make those decisions. They're incredibly supportive board.
So they're mostly kind of on the fundraising side?
Absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely.
Great. So now, in this new season, can you run that down a little bit?
Well, it's really exciting. It's four shows that we've never produced in our history, which is kind of unheard of. We're opening our season with a world premiere of Cole Porter's last Broadway musical, Silk Stockings, which never really had a life after its Broadway initial Broadway run. It's probably best remembered being made into a film starring Sid Charisse and Fred Astaire.
Yes.
And Stuart Ross, who is responsible for creating and writing the hit musical Forever Plaid, has totally reworked the book of Silk Stockings, and we're doing the world premiere of his book. He has gotten permission from the Cole Porter Estate to add new music. So this is just a brand new production of a show that probably no one's ever seen on stage before. And so for us, it's a biggie. We have to create the sets. We have to create the costumes. There's no place where we can rent them. So it's very exciting. It's a big deal for us. So that's our season opener in November. We follow that with being the first Southern California Regional Theater to do Mel Brooks' The Producers, which I'm so excited about. We had our hands tied because the Las Vegas production, any Southern California theater was unable to produce it. So we made sure when that production closes, we would be the first regional theater to get to do The Producers. And this is the full 2.5 hour one, not the 90-minute version like they did in Las Vegas. So we will be doing that with costumes and sets from the national tour, and which we're very excited about. And then we're following that with another regional premiere of Forbidden Broadway, which is one of the longest running off-Broadway musicals. It's been there for 25 years now. And it's basically, it skewers every Broadway show and performer from Carol Channing and Ethel Merman to Fiddler on the Roof to Wicked to Rent to you name it. Les Miserables, they skewer these shows. And it's a very intimate four-person show with lots of costume changes. And it's really, really funny. And that, again, will be a regional premiere from us. And then we're closing the season with Dreamgirls, which in 56 years we've never done. And we think with the popularity of the film now, it's time to bring that one to our audiences. We have a director who was in the original cast who will be setting Michael Bennett's original staging, which is very exciting. And that's going to be an opulent production. And that closes our season in July 2009.
Wow, that's fantastic. Do you have, this is something that I've always wondered just personally, is do you have any flexibility in the length of time the show will run? I mean, if you schedule it for X number of performances, yeah, and you find that all of a sudden it's turned into this giant juggernaut and there's people lining up to get tickets, do you have any flexibility as far as working with the carpenter?
With the university? You know, that's the hard thing. It's because, you know, they try to book that theater with an inch of its life. They always want something in the venue, which I can understand. They're a business as well. I mean, if so, like The Wizard of Oz, pretty much our entire closing weekend was sold out. You know, and so there's a kind of, you know, I kind of like putting up the sign, we're sorry, this evening's performance is sold out. It'd be easier for us to probably add performances during the week that were already there than to kind of extend. And That is something we do think about. You know, if you do have this huge hit and, you know, and the cast is game, the orchestra can stay, the set's not going to another theater, you know, but we do, you know, we have to play by the rules. And, you know, unfortunately, if a ballet is in the following week at the Carpenter Center, there's really nothing we can do because they've had the, you know, right, they've been in the books for a year too, just like we are.
Right. But, it sounds like with this set of five that you have something that would really appeal to a broad demographic. I mean, really broad.
We're hoping, yeah. I mean, the classic Cole Porter, you know, and that'll make the P's our, you know, older supportive patrons. And then Mel Brooks, The Producers, let's be honest, he's known as the equal opportunity offender. And, you know, if no one walks away in that show and you know, come on, they mock everybody. I mean, just come on, Springtime for Hitler, you know. And then Forbidden Broadway is, you know, people think, oh, is it a theater elitist? Is it inside jokes? And we don't think so. We think that these are, you know, it's all musicals, you know, they're all musical performers you know of, and we think that our audiences will have a grand time. And then, you know, the whole demographic of Dreamgirls,
right, which is huge,
which is huge.
Yeah, because it's really, I mean, it's crossed over in so many different ways. It's
absolutely
hard to pin down now. It's really a great piece.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So now, what about the actual process of production? Can you tell me about that a little bit? I mean, I know that there's, I mean, how do you actually get these shows put together as far as like, well, we're going to commit to doing this? I mean, tell me about, for example, the producers. How did that come to, how did you land that? Because it must have been a hot property, said. I mean, how did you...
I was on that, probably a year and a half ago. And the moment that it was announced in Las Vegas, we had called the licensing at Musical Theater International, which holds the rights to the show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because of our notoriety in the community and in Southern California, they consider us a high-end theater, like a Pantages mm-hmm. or an Amundsen. And so if a tour comes through, we can't get the rights to a lot of these shows. We haven't been able to do Cats. We haven't been able to do Les Miserables, which I just directed in Vista, which is in, you know, North San Diego County, but that's so far away from LA that when the tour comes back to LA, that they don't figure that 2 weeks in Vista is going to, you know, offset people driving to LA to see the show, whereas in Long Beach they do.
Right.
So we constantly have to fight to get the hot titles, and Producers was one that Paul and I really, really fought for. And then when we got the commitment from the vice president of the license now that yes, when they announce the closing date in Las Vegas, it's yours, and we held them to it. And so we made sure that we got it. We have the exclusive rights, and we'll be the first theater out here to produce it. And you know, we try to do that with a lot of shows. Mm-hmm. But like I said, we're held captive just by our location. Mm-hmm. You know, we're so close to LA, we get our hands slapped. We're so close to Disneyland, we're within 50 miles of Disneyland. So we're not allowed to produce Disney's Beauty and the Beast. We're not allowed to produce any of those titles.
Interesting.
Because we're so close to Anaheim. So for us, it's a game. It's mm-hmm. a big game in trying to get the right titles. And a lot of times we can't get, you know, you think getting Annie would be a piece of cake. We haven't been able to get Annie for 2 years because there's been a national tour that's been going across the country. Same thing with Hairspray. We've wanted to bring Hairspray to our audiences, and there's, you know, keep saying, no, you can't, there's a tour. So, you know, it's really difficult. But once we do get our titles in place, then it's, you know, for me, I find, okay, like this season's big for us, we have to build 3 sets. You know, there's only one Dreamgirls set, and it's on the East Coast. And now with gas prices, to truck two trucks from the East Coast is like $40,000. And, you know, so you have to be budget-minded and say, well, it won't cost us that much to build it. I mean, that's just to truck it. Then you put the rental on top of that,
right?
You know, of the set. So we're building Dreamgirls, we're building Silk Stockings, and we're building Forbidden Broadway. So I do try to see what sets are available. You know, and then, it, of course, we get down to, you know, artistic staff who's going to direct, who we hire to choreograph, who we hire to musically direct the show, where do the costumes come from, the lighting design, stage management team. And then we set up the audition process, and then we audition the show and all the roles.
So, but each production is totally independent of others. There's not like a standard set of people that you just draw, that you have on staff, or that you call upon to do these productions. Each one is sort of a separate entity.
Separate entity. Our general manager, Daniel Thomas, and I, we try to do a show a year, just because I think it always helps. Daniel's a wonderful musical director. He musically directed the production of The Pajama Game and The Pirates of Penzance that I directed, and he will be doing Producers that I'll be directing this year. I find it helps me be a better producer when I'm on the inside, too. As the director, I can see how my stage management's calling shows. I can see how my crew is, how your actors are, instead of just being the producer who sits upstairs. You're really in the trenches, and I think it you know, we get better work from our people that way. But no, each show is totally separate. Not every show has the same lighting designer. You know, sets come from all over the country, you know. We've had a different stage manager for every show.
Wow.
You know, yeah, they are. Each show has a different director, choreographer. Yeah.
So now, the first show that you're doing, which is...
Silk Stockings.
Silk Stockings. Where is that in its production cycle right now?
We are currently casting the show. We held auditions in August. Stuart Ross, who is also directing, he wrote it and now he's directing. He's been in New York directing another show, so it's kind of been a long-distance affair trying to get the show cast. It's all hinging on the lead role of Ninotchka, and then everything else should fall into place. But dancers are cast, the ensemble is cast, just some principal roles we're waiting on. And, you know, now we're in the early phases of, since we're creating it, our choreographer has been in rehearsals with our arranger, because we're arranging dance music that's never happened before. It's never been in these scores before. So they've already met, and they're getting the ball rolling on that end. I've been in discussions with costume designer, and he's been in talks with our director to see what looks and designs he wants, and same with our set design.
So, and this is all existing within a probably a fairly fixed budget, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it must be quite a little juggling act to get everything to kind of...
Yes, this is big for us because, I mean, it's much easier to have one contract to where we're getting the producers, sets, costumes, props, wigs, shoes, everything is just coming from there, coming to us. You know, that's much easier than having to hire people to design and build and, you know. So, yes, it's very difficult. We've been working on self-stocking since, you know, we committed to do it in February. We've had early readings of it, table reads, you know, so the director can, and the writer could hear what needs to be fixed. And it's a big process.
Well, also, though, I guess at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, it must be, is it more rewarding to actually...
I'll let you know on opening night. Right now, it's killing me. No, it is. I mean, it is because it's a great education for us as an organization. You know, we've done this before with Never Gonna Dance, but Never Gonna Dance was basically a newer Broadway flop that, you know, that we also had to create stuff for, but I don't think not at the level as we're trying to do with Silk Stockings. Mm-hmm. The licensing house of Tams Whitmark, which is another New York licensing house, is coming to see this production to see maybe if this is the production of the show they want to license.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Which is very exciting. Mm-hmm. We're hoping that, you know, a lot of producers will come see it, and maybe they'll want to produce Silk Stockings. And then we'll have a set of costumes that we can rent as part of a package of having, you know, passive income stream.
So you're really investing in something that may down the road provide you with more financial sustenance.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, I look at our friend David Armstrong, who's our artistic director at the Fifth Avenue in Seattle. Mm-hmm. I mean, they opened their doors and they did Hairspray. And now look, I mean, talk about, you know, generating an income stream,
right.
You know, and
right.
all it takes is one hit.
Have you already started thinking about next year's?
Oh.
Is there anything you can...
No. 09-10, yes, we made a commitment to try to have it all locked up by November.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a smart thing to do.
Well, it's just because we always say that, and then we find it being January, and we're still missing one show or something. But I can safe to say we've got some really exciting titles.
Right.
Very, very exciting. None,
you can't get into anything?
No. Oh. Some we're not even allowed to really announce until next year because of rights issues.
So when will the casting process for Silk Stockings be completed?
I hope within the next week and a half.
Mm-hmm. And then after that, you go straight into rehearsals?
Well, rehearsals begin October 20th, so we're still over a month out.
So what happens between the end of...
Choreographer will still be working, setting dance music, you know, Stuart will be doing the final rewrites, you know, designs, you know, stuff will start getting to be designed and built, and
costumes
and sets.
So all this, has that all started now? I mean,
the design aspect of it, you know, typically the build will probably start like in early October.
How many people in the cast?
19.
Wow.
So that's actually small.
Really? Seems like a lot.
Yeah. It's The Wizard of Oz had, oh gosh, over 40.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so this will be a breath of fresh air after The Wizard of Oz. But yes, the producers has like 24. I think Dreamgirls is 29.
Wow.
So this is a mid-size show for us, which is nice.
Is there anything else that people in Long Beach should know about Musical Theater West?
Come and see us. You know, I'm always blown away by how many people have never heard of us. Still, you know, and granted, it's been 10 years, you know. But, you know, go out. Don't think that that going to live theater is just for old fogies. We do a really exciting new work. And I think people will be really impressed by production standards, by the actors. You know, people always walk out saying this could have been on Broadway. And... you know, we're affordable, and it's a great night. It's an event, you know. It's going to the movies. You know, sit home watching. This is an event.
And subscriptions are still available, too, I think, right?
Season subscriptions still available. Single tickets go on sale on September 17th, which is going to be big. We think this is a big single ticket season. It's very eclectic. But yes, come support the arts, not just here. As Paul always says in his curtain speech, there's a lot of great things going on in Long Beach. Yeah, the opera, the ballet, symphony, you know, it's awesome. ICT, the Playhouse, there's a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, we're happy to be here, and we hope to be here for a long time, so.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.